Hopefully you do too. Praise God. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. If you don't have it in your Bibles, if you don't have your Bibles for some reason, we do have it on the screen. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel. We need some power in these last days. We need it more than we've ever needed it. The church needs to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Bible talks about power, it's usually synonymous with the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be talking about how do we preach with power? How do we minister under the power of God, under the Holy Spirit of God? Paul talked a lot about that in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2. And of course, I don't have time for all of those verses, but I'm going to pull out a few verses and we're going to start in verse 17. He said this, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Now, I want you to understand, Paul was called to preach the gospel, but so are you. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you're a believer, if you're born again, we've all got the Great Commission to do the same thing, is to preach this gospel. Hallelujah. Every one of us is called, not just the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but if you are a believer, you are supposed to go out and preach this gospel to every creature. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out demons. This is the call of every believer. This is what we've been authorized to do by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So, but Paul says here, he didn't send me just to baptize, but to preach the gospel, but not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. I tell you, in these last days, what we need is the true gospel. We see a lot of false gospels, and we also see people preaching without the power of God. They're preaching without God's power, but instead using wisdom of words. That just means empty words, vain rhetoric, just natural, soulish, or fleshly carnal abilities, and not by the Holy Spirit, not by the power of God. God doesn't just want you to just use empty words and vain, empty rhetoric. He wants you, by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, to minister. And that's what's going to change lives. That's what's going to save souls. That's what's going to reach into the heart of people and say, "I've heard from God. I've heard because of what you've said, because of what you've shared with me, because of your prayer for me. I've heard from God. Thank you." We will, if you're faithful in doing that, for all of eternity, people will be coming up to you and say, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing the gospel. Thank you for what you did. Saved my soul." The preaching of the gospel is the most important thing happening on the earth today. You know, we tend to think of things going on in our lives, maybe our jobs and careers and things like that. Those things are very unimportant compared to preaching this gospel. Who are you reaching with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And we don't want to do it with vain, empty words. See, Paul lived in a time where there were, you know, all these, he lived in a Greek and Roman civilization where it was all about philosophy and intellect and these things. And so that's even been carried down in the church even today. Thousands of years later, we still have people preaching without power. They're preaching with intellect. They're preaching out of their soul, which is intellect. They're preaching out of their emotions. And most Christians can't tell the difference between the power of God and emotions. We need the power of the Holy Spirit today. So how can you minister with the power of God? Well, we're going to get into that. So let's start all the way back over. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Okay? He sent me not to baptize. You know, there are some people that believe that if you get water baptized, that's what saves you. But Paul clearly says here, "He sent me not to baptize." So it couldn't mean that baptism, water baptism, saves you. Because then Paul would be obsessed with getting everybody water baptized. But that's not what Paul's calling was. What was his calling? It was to preach the gospel. Why? Because by the hearing of the gospel, That's how people are saved. So preaching is what saves, because we have to hear something. When we hear something, we believe what we hear, and the sinner acts and says, I am a sinner. I am in need of a Savior, and repents and makes Jesus Christ Savior and Lord. And that's really part of the gospel, making Jesus Christ both your Savior, believing he died on the cross for your sins, rose again the third day, but also Lord, saying, I will be a follower of Jesus Christ for the rest of my life. So we're called not only to preach to every creature, as it says in Mark chapter 16, but also in Matthew 24, to make disciples. So that's the two aspects of being, of preaching the cross, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is there's a Savior aspect where he saves you from hell, but from that day forward, you also have to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel that Paul preached. You know, he's talking to the Corinthians. He didn't just preach a salvation message over and over and over for, you know, however many chapters this was. And then in the 2 Corinthians, more about salvation, salvation, salvation. We get saved one time, but then there's continual salvation. In fact, I'll show you some scriptures on that in just a moment. It is discipleship. It is following him. And so this is all part of preaching the gospel. What we do here at Christ Unveiled is preach, yes, a salvation message, but also we disciple people. We're trying to make people like Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ. You know the passage in Romans chapter 10 that teaches us how to get people saved. It says, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. They have to hear something to be saved, not get water baptized. They have to hear something. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, underline that word, that Lord is important. It's not just salvation from hell. He has to be Lord. Lord Jesus, you shall believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. This is what we need to be getting to everybody. It's like, show people the power of the cross. Tell them what Jesus did for them on that cross. How? You can tell them by what he did for you on that cross. My life was a wreck. My life was a mess. And I surrendered everything to Jesus Christ, believed, and I was saved. And you can tell them your testimony. But we want to do it with power, not empty words, not this just meaningless babble. A lot of what's happening, what we see in churches, there's no discipleship happening. There's a lot of psychology. There's intellectualism. I came out of a church that was very intellectual. There would be all these kind of, you know, intellectual homilies and sermons on quotations from the Reformed fathers and things like this. It was just all intellectualism and no power. It was the frozen chosen. It was just dead. It was tough. We don't want intellectualism. We want the Holy Spirit and power, not men's wisdom and men's great oratory, how great they can speak and man's charming speech. You know, I found out that all this intellectualism, it's just man trying to say, you know what, I'm smarter than you, so just be quiet and listen to me. It's just pride, just trying to come across with, I'm so smart, you know, and that is powerless. That is the enemy of the message of the cross. Because he says, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. It actually empties the cross of power when you're trying to, but what they're doing is boasting of themselves, how great they are and how knowledgeable they are. What are they doing? They're creating followers of themselves instead of followers of Christ. They're making disciples of themselves instead of disciples of Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about intellectualism. I'm talking about emotionalism. I'm talking about psychology. I'm talking about all these, basically people go to church and are become, you know, here life coaches, and it's all about self-help steps and things like this instead of the gospel. We need to be preaching the word of God. This is what we preach. It's the Bible. We open up the scriptures and we explain the Bible over and over and over. Hallelujah. Because here is the words of life. Nowhere else can we get the words of life other than right here in this book. By the power of the Holy Ghost, opening this up, sharing the truth and the wonderful truths that are found in this book. Not meaningless rhetoric. So it says, to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of none effect. Another translation says this, lest the cross should be deprived of its power, emptied of power, rendered vain and fruitless, void of value. The cross, you can say the right words, in other words, but if you're doing it for the wrong reason, if you're doing it to draw men after yourself, you've emptied the cross of power. You've harmed the message of the gospel in that person's life. You haven't helped them. You've actually harmed them because you're bringing people after you instead of after Christ. Paul said, yeah, be a follower of me. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me. But he said, even as I follow, am a follower of Christ. See, Paul wasn't saying follow me. I'm not trying to make little Pauls. I'm trying to make little Jesuses. Follow me as I follow him. As I follow him. So if I go aside, I go astray, just keep following Jesus. But we've got too many that are trying to make people followers of themselves, disciples of themselves. Jesus said, follow me. Paul said, follow me. All of us should be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. All of us, every one of us. Paul even said that in Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example, says one translation, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Okay, in us. So it's not just following Paul. He's saying all the people that are following Christ follow in that manner, the way that they follow him. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18 again. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's foolishness because how can a man dying do anything? That doesn't make any sense to the logical, intellectual mind. But we know it's the power of God because it was the power of God 3 days later that raised him from the dead. That same power abides in you. Oh, that we could get a revelation of the power of God that is in us. The Holy Spirit, the power of God is in you to minister and preach this gospel. It says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The message is the power of God itself. God shows up when you preach this book in sincerity and honesty, not to draw men unto yourself. It says, which are saved. You know, this word actually in the Greek, it means those that are being saved. We're all being saved. We're in a process. The Bible talks about past, present, and future salvation for all of us. In the past, it says we were saved, Romans 8:24. But salvation is also a present state. It says you have been saved, Ephesians 2, verse 5. But here it talks about a process of being saved. We're being saved, right here, 1 Corinthians 1:18. And then we look also forward to a future salvation, thank God. It says you shall be saved, Romans 5. Verse 9, we'll be saved from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. What did Paul preach? He preached the cross. Now, he didn't just say the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, over and over and over and over. He wasn't talking about the wooden sticks, the wooden planks. He was talking about the gospel message of salvation through Christ alone because of the price he paid on that cross for every single man that breathes on this earth, taking the full sin upon himself and the punishment, the wrath of God upon himself. And if you believe, you can be saved. And if you follow him, he'll change your life. He'll change you in literally every way if you allow him to. Become a follower, a disciple of Christ Jesus. That is our message. Every one of us should have that in our heart. I also want to look at chapter 2. Both these chapters are so good, chapter 1 and chapter 2. But I'm going to go to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, not with great oratory." So many today in the churches have great oratory. They're great speakers, technically speaking. They know all the right places to say the right words and to rise up and to drop down and to bring the crowd up again and to push emotion and all kinds of stuff. We need the Holy Ghost power is what we really need. That's why they're ineffective at making disciples. They have a bunch of babies at best out there. We need the word preached by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Well, it's not with excellency of speech or wisdom, talking about man's carnal ability, carnal knowledge. You know, Paul was not a great speaker. He was not a great orator. He actually said that in 2 Corinthians 10:10. He was good at writing. We got his letters. He says, "For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible." Paul was not a great orator, but he knew God. He knew the power of God, and he ministered by the power of the Holy Spirit in what he did. That's why he was so effective in reaching so many lives. Verse 2, he said this, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." This is really the secret of Paul's ministry and Paul's power. He didn't try to wow people with all his knowledge, which he could have done. He was an intellectual. And he had a great amount of learning, probably more than almost anybody in his day. But he discarded all that. That is but rubbish, dung. He wanted Christ. He wanted to preach a pure gospel by the Holy Spirit. Not trying to impress men. Not empty rhetoric. Just the simple gospel message. And again, it doesn't just mean the salvation message. It's the whole thing, discipleship as well. When he preached, power was manifested. We know when we preach the truth of the gospel, God shows up with power. That's what it says in Mark 16, in the Great Commission, "They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." The power of God was present with signs, wonders, healings, miracles. Why? The word "them," if you know your, in King James, the word "them" is in italics. What that means is that was added by the translators. It's not actually in the original wording. The Lord, it actually says this, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word." It wasn't confirming them. He was confirming God's word with signs and wonders and the power of God, the gifts of the Spirit. God's given the gifts of the Spirit to the church. We should be operating in the power of God with gifts. Thank God for healings and miracles and tongues and interpretation and prophecy and word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, special faith. Thank God. We have the power of God to reach this generation. First, there is the word, and then God confirms the word with these things. But are we preaching the word? Because if we're not preaching the word, we're not going to see the other. We're not going to see the signs. We have to get back, church, to preaching the word. All the church, not just our. I'm talking about all the church. It is so vital in these last days. We get back to the word of God with power. Verse 3 says, "For I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." This is really the key. This is really the crux of what I'm getting at. Paul had a different attitude than everybody else, because everybody else was running around boasting, saying, I'm a super apostle. That's kind of the words that they were using. I'm a super apostle. Follow me. We got people today with the same carnal mentality, putting apostle all over their names, and I'm an apostle this and bishop that and prophet that, and on their business cards and all over the ministry. You've got to know I'm an apostle. I'm not just an apostle. I'm a super apostle. That's the wrong attitude. That's the people that Paul was dealing with. But Paul said, listen, I'm not going to compete with you. I'm not competing with you super apostles. Because the super apostle would boast of how much they know and how great they are and how intellectual they are and talk about all the philosophies and quote all the philosophers instead of preaching the word. Same thing's happening today. People sound like great orators. They sound like great intellectuals. Make people think, oh man, I want to be like them. I want to follow them. They just know so much. No, we don't want to be like a man. We want to be like Jesus. We don't want to have disciples after ourselves that basically worship and admire us. I want everybody to worship and admire Jesus alone. Jesus alone deserves it. Jesus alone, not man. So the secret is, I was in weakness. So they're over here boasting of how great they are, and Paul is boasting of what? Weakness. There it is. I am weak. I am weak. I am trembling before God. I reverence a most holy God who's given me the most sacred task of preaching this gospel. And I take it very seriously so that I tremble before him in doing so. I am weak. See, that's the difference between flesh and spirit. Flesh boasts of how much they know and how great they are. But spirit trembles. The spirit of man trembles and reverence before God. Trembling that not only am I in reverence of God, but I tremble because I don't want to act. Paul didn't want to act out of his flesh in ministry. He didn't want to act out of his emotions or intellect. He was afraid of falling into that trap. Humility is the key to the power of God. 2 Corinthians 11:30, Paul speaking, he says this, "If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities or weaknesses." Paul gloried in his weaknesses, not his intellectualism and how much he knew. He admits, "I'm not a great speaker." He admits, "I am weak." This is the secret of his power. He's not just telling it to himself. He's telling it to the whole church. "I am weak." And he operated in more power than just about anybody in his day, so that handkerchiefs from his body were brought to the sick and they were healed. the demons come out of people just because of the power of God in handkerchiefs that came from his body. 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." Paul heard from God, and he was trying to get this thorn removed from his flesh, right? And God says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my weaknesses, in my infirmities, my weaknesses." This is it, so that the power of God can rest upon me. Church, we need power today in our preaching. Power of the gospel comes through humility, acknowledging and openly admitting our weaknesses. Verse 4, he says, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man." And that's how the gospel is robbed of its power. When people have faith in the wisdom and the oratory and the greatness of man instead of God. "Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." We should have faith in the power of God. We should have faith. That's what this verse is saying. We should have faith in the power of God. We have faith in the word of God. We should have faith in the power of God too. He was humble. It's not just, I want to give you three things here, and we'll close up. So it says here, "My preaching, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of power." My speech and my preaching was demonstration of power. The way he preached, he ministered by the Spirit of God, in that was a demonstration. His speech and his preaching was the power of God being manifested. See, we sometimes think the power of God is manifested only when we see, you know, a miracle or a healing or something. But no, his power is also in preaching. His speech and preaching was the power of God too. But not just the words. Because he says that later on. He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." That's 1 Thessalonians 1:5. The gospel is not just words though. When you preach by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, your speech and your preaching will be with the power of God. But it's not just the words. There's also demonstration of the power. Like it talks about, God will confirm his word with signs following. So it is in your preaching. And it is, the power of God is also manifested in your preaching. It's manifested in the gifts of the Spirit, manifested with, you know, miracles, healings, prophecy, all these things. But there's a third one, and I believe this is the most important one. And we already really touched on it when I went to Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. It is his life being an example. His life was an example. He didn't just say the words, but live contrary to the words. He lived what he preached. It's not just the gifts of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit was, I believe, a secret of his power. He lived walking in holiness, walking in love, walking in self-control, walking in humility, and walking in the peace of God, the joy. He lived it every single day, and that's why he was so effective. Church, I'm talking about how to get the power of God back into the church, how to get the power of God back into our preaching. It's not just words, though we do need the power of God in our words. And it's not just signs and wonders in the gifts of the Spirit. But a third one is this, the fruit of the Spirit. And living a life of holiness, living a life of righteousness. Hallelujah. That's how we get the power back. And how do we get that? How do we do that? Well, it's humbling ourselves, just like Paul figured out. When I am weak, then I'm strong. Then God gives me the ability to do that. Paul got the revelation to walk in victory over sin. You know, some people, you know, have this great struggle with sin. I sin, and then I repent, and then I just do it again and again and again and again. What's the problem? You don't have enough grace yet. You're not operating in the grace. Well, how do I get the grace? Well, I just told you, humble yourself. That was Paul's revelation. James's revelation. Wherefore he gives more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That was Peter's revelation. 1 Peter 5:5. All of you be subject to one another. Clothe yourself with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Paul had the revelation. James had the revelation. Peter had the revelation. You want to overcome sin? Humble yourself. Admit your weakness. Get on your face that the power of God will raise you up and make you like Christ, so that your preaching is not just with words and not even just with signs and wonders, but with power, because people see you live the life you preach. Amen? That's what we're called to do. That's how we get the power. That's how we live it out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope you got that. If not, you can listen to it again. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've called all of us to preach this gospel, Lord God. But I pray that you help us. Help us to humble ourselves so that we don't rely on our natural strengths and carnal strengths and soulish abilities, but Lord, that we rely on your Holy Spirit. We are weak. We are trembling before you in reverence. Lord, help us in our weakness. Forgiveness, forgive us of our pride. Help us, Lord God, to preach with power so that the lost can be saved. Give us a word to reach them. Give us your heart to reach them. Lord, we need you. We are weak. We are feeble. We are frail. We are unable to do it, but Lord, we will trust in you. I know you will help us. You will give us the grace to preach. You will give us the grace to live a victorious life over sin, so that sin shall not be master over us, as it says in your word. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.
We thank you, Father God, that you allowed your Son to come down and walk on this earth and show us how to be Christ-like. Father God, that we could be more like Jesus, and that we can be as what he told Peter was, if you love me, feed my sheep. Father God, I pray that as Christians that we do that, that we will feed your sheep, and that we will not only just feed the sheep, but we will also be hearers and doers of your word, and that when people see our light, that they will see that we're walking in the glory of you, Father God, and that we may get your word out, and that people will listen and understand. In Jesus' most precious and holy name I pray, amen and amen. If you had not had a chance to give yet, we ask that you please do so. Help us in supporting the ministry. And also on the 18th of May, we will have our church barbecue, and we need workers for this. And there is a sign-up sheet out in the lobby. And for those that are online, we're glad that you showed up online to praise God with us. And for those of you who are in-house, we're glad that you came out in the rain. And we also have a service coming up at 11 o'clock. You're more than welcome to come back to that. And also on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have a Bible study. And you're more than welcome to come to that as well. We thank you. Be safe as you head out, and you are dismissed.